Elena Kagan's confirmation hearings began yesterday afternoon.
I will work hard, and I will do my best to consider every case impartially, modestly, with commitment to principle, and in accordance with law.
But it wasn't Kagan that the senators were focused on. It was this man.
Ms. Kagan appears to enthusiastically embrace Justice Marshall's judicial forces.
Is Justice Thurgood Marshall.
Thurgood Marshall is
another. Clerk for Justice Marshall.
Justice Marshall's judicial philosophy is not what I would consider to be mainstream.
Thurgood Marshall's name came up 35 times during the first day of Kagan's confirmation.
That's crazy, though.
President Obama was mentioned 14 times.
Did you hear Kagan? I will work hard and
well,
be impartial and modest.
Yeah,
that
expect.
Is so not Thurgood Marshall.
Nobody is saying that
Thurgood Marshall
she
was like
is,
lightning dude.
Yeah, well, nobody's saying that Elena Kagan is going to be Thurgood Marshall, but they're thinking that she's going to have the same kind of dangerous, as they characterize it, dangerous activist tendencies. Thurgood Marshall was a civil rights pioneer. He successfully argued Brown versus Board of Education. He was the first African American to sit on the high court. And Kagan herself has admitted he was one of her heroes. He was her mentor. She clerked for him early on in her career. So why is her confirmation hearings all about Thurgood Marshall? Joining us now to talk about this is David Wall Rice, professor of psychology at Morehouse College. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Not such a rich phone line, but David, I was very surprised by this focus on Thurgood Marshall. Why this sort of coordinated attack on the legacy of Justice Marshall?
Well, I guess the easy answer to that, you know, in my estimation, is that she clerked for him. And since she has, you know, really not a lengthy paper trail that they can really attack or that can be attacked or criticized, they can look at Thurgood Marshall. And I guess the extended question becomes, all right, well, why would they attack him, somebody who's not only a civil rights pioneer but an American patriot in many senses of the word and in many perceptions, whether it be Republican or Democrat? And I think that, you know, when you have somebody like Sotomayor on the bench and you have somebody like Obama in the White House, I think that what happens is that opinions that heretofore might have been muted because of seemingly racist undertones can now be elaborated on. And, you know, I think that this criticism of Thurgood Marshall kind of reeks of, you know, institutional racism, quite frankly. And I know that's kind of a hard line to push right now, and it might feel uncomfortable and all those kinds of things. But when you look at the folks who really were criticizing, you know, Thurgood Marshall, Kagan via Marshall, you look at places like Arizona, you look at places like Alabama, Iowa, and Texas, and you look at the conservative leadership in those places, you kind of understand that, at least in their expression yesterday through their representatives, they're a couple of decades behind in understanding what it means to be in line with mainstream, quote unquote.
Okay, David Wall Rice, who's going to get a lot of emails. I want to play for you the senator from Alabama. This is Jeff Sessions. He's the ranking Republican on the panel. He wasn't talking about racism, but he was characterizing Justice Marshall as an activist.
She clerked for Judge Mikva and Justice Marshall, each well-known activist. These judges really don't deny their activist ideas. They advocate it, and they openly criticize the idea that a judge is merely a neutral umpire.
David Wall Rice, we spoke with Dahlia Lithwick. We've spoken with others who've said that you know, many of the opinions of the Supreme Court, as they've evolved over time, have mirrored the social evolution. So perhaps an activist in Thurgood Marshall's time would not be an activist today?
Absolutely. I think I do agree with that. And I think that when you talk about kind of legislating from the bench, or you talk about judicial activism, a lot of times what you're talking about are opinions that you don't agree with, right? And so, you know, when you're talking about desegregating schools, I mean, those are opinions that a lot of people did not agree with, you know, when we were looking at Board versus the Brown of Education. But as times and attitudes evolve, then we see that this is brought into the mainstream. All but for perhaps some of the current GOP folks on the Judicial Confirmation Committee.
Well, I want to play for you a very short clip of Thurgood Marshall speaking in an interview that he did with Mike Wallace back in 1956.
I think that in Congress today, the only bipartisan action is against civil rights and Negroes' rights.
That's Thurgood Marshall talking about the activism of the Congress, not of the court.
Yeah, I think that, again, a lot of times when you think about activism, you're talking about opinions. And certainly we have opinion and policymakers within the legislative and, quite frankly, the judicial branch. And I think that what becomes important is for individuals to, much like in science, there's this kind of faux understanding of objectivity. Well, looking at the gauntlet that you pick up and the certain perspectives that you're interested in, there's going to be a level of subjectivity, but we have checks and balances. And, you know, it becomes important for certain people to push agendas and for us to vet them and to make sure that they're great for the Democratic space in large.
But the irony there, David Walrise, is that Kagan seems to me to be the last person to push against a consensus, like Thurgood Marshall was talking about, a consensus against Negro rights in both the House and the Senate. She seems much more an incremental character.
I think that's the case. And I think that what we saw yesterday was this kind of distraction of going to Thurgood Marshall and not really looking at the meaty substance of who Kagan is before them. And so, you know, I just think that's another, it's kind of a misdirection. It's unfortunate that, you know, the hearings took a turn in that direction and, you know, blemished in part, you know, kind of the legacy of this great icon. But the matter at hand really wasn't addressed in a substantial, meaningful, and deliberate way. And hopefully we'll get back on track today.
Oh, well, we'll see if that actually happens. Today is the actual questioning of Elena Kagan during her time in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. That is David Walrise speaking with us. He's a professor of psychology at Morehouse College. He's talking about the discussions and the mentions of Thurgood Marshall mentioned 35 times during the first day of confirmation hearings for Elena Kagan. Orrin Hatch said he doesn't know for sure if he would have voted to confirm Thurgood Marshall.
Well, that's something for Orrin Hatch to be concerned about in his own soul there. Thurgood Marshall was an unqualified success in the Supreme Court.
It's an odd, odd, odd thing.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.